What's up, guys? Welcome to Kind of Funny Games Daily for this beautiful Widow Wednesday on August 26th, 2020. I'm Tim Geddes, joined by Gary Widow. Gary,
good morning,
how
Tim.
Are you doing?
I'm good. How are you? It's always a pleasure. Too rare a pleasure to host with you. It's been a while, so I'm glad to be back with you again today.
I think this is the first one we've done together since quarantine.
I think it is.
That's crazy to think about. That's so long.
Yeah, I mean, it's months and months.
I'm looking at the date. It's August 26th. That date always reminds me of starting school, because I feel like in San Francisco, that was always the week that we would have to start going to school. And like, it scares me that I've lived more of my life not going to school than I have.
Is that the case?
Mm-hmm. Don't do the math on it, Kevin.
I'm trying to think about it because I don't think it's right.
It's
complicated. It's complicated where it's like you started school at 7 and you ended school at what, 22?
Yeah. You know what?
Cool. 7 to 22.
You win, Kevin. Is that what you want to hear? I'm
No, not at all. I'm not trying to.
Didn't go to school long enough. Gary, what have you been up to?
You know, working away, trying to keep busy, you know, noodling on various different projects. We got the new show premiering tomorrow night, Talk Guys, the celebrity talk show that happens inside Fall Guys, Ultimate Knockout. While Animal Talking is on hiatus for a short time, Talk Guys is going to come in and fill the gap. And it's a very simple concept. We're going to play with interesting people and attempt to interview them while also playing Fall Guys. And as you know, like, that's going to be a challenge because you know, like, how distracting playing Fall Guys can be. So that's going to be the fun. Somebody described it as like the Hot Ones of video games. Like, can you conduct an interview while also subjecting yourself to this very difficult ordeal? So I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be fun. Any excuse to play Fall Guys, basically.
Absolutely. I love that. So how long are you trying to do the interviews for?
Well, you know, the show doesn't have a set length. We're just going to play and see what happens. We've got some great people to play with tomorrow night, 7 p.m. We're going to be playing with Dr. Lupo. If you follow the Fall Guys world, you'll know that that Lupo was recently crowned the best player in the game. So my co-host Kate Stark and I are going to be playing with him. And then on Friday, we're doing another episode, really, really cool. Joe Walsh, the lead designer of the game, and Oliver, who runs the legendary Fall Guys game Twitter account, is going to be playing with us as well. So that's going to be really, really fun.
Dude, I'm loving all of this. And I love that this is the first time I've done the show with you since quarantine. So I haven't been able to talk to you about Animal Talking and all this success and everything. The thing that I am most impressed by is you went from being, you know, accomplished screenwriter Gary Widow and PC gamer Gary Widow and Kind of Funny Games Daily Gary Widow. Now you're like host interviewer Gary Widow. Like, that's a skill that doesn't just happen. Like, you need to really try to be able to be good at that stuff. And there's very few people I know that I put on this pedestal of, like, you don't just host like and be on a podcast. Like, you can interview. Greg Miller's on that list, and Gary Widow, you are now on that list. I've listened to some Animal Talking, and I am very impressed with your ability to talk equally to Selena Gomez or a designer of a video game.
Well, thank you, Tim. I appreciate that. And you know what I'm going to say, don't you? You know what's my catchphrase? You know it
exactly. You're not making moves.
If you're not making moves, you're standing still. So, no, that's, you know, I obviously don't want to talk about this. Let's get to some video game news. But no, that's actually been the nicest compliment that I've received since I started the Animal Talking show, was like, oh, Gary's actually a pretty good talk show host and interviewer. And I've really enjoyed it. I just like talking to interesting people. That's been the greatest gift of the show, is really just the opportunity to meet and hang out with and talk to interesting people I might not otherwise have an opportunity to. It's like just this nexus for like interesting people to hang out with and talk to. And Talk Guys hopefully will be that as well, but much less stress. The reason why Animal Talking is going on hiatus is because it takes about 10 to 12 hours to put each episode of the show together, and I just don't have the time anymore because like my actual day job is starting to intrude. How dare my actual job get in the way? So while that's parked for a little bit, Talk Guys is a show where we can kind of keep the energy going, you know, video game talk show, and it's going to be a fun hybrid. But we just show up and play the game. Like, we don't have to do all the sound checks and animations and logos. Like, it's going to be like a much more, it's going to have more I don't give a fuck energy than the other show, which I think, you know, is exactly what we all need right now. Yeah.
Yeah, yep. Definitely. Man, I want to talk to you so much more about this. I want to do a We Have Cool Friends episode with you, Gary, because I want to get into all the nitty-gritty stuff. We'll have to figure that out off air sometime. But sure. this is Kinda Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. We get together to talk to you about all the video game news that you need to know. You can watch live on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames and correct us when we get things wrong by going to kindafunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindafunnygames or roosterteeth.com. You can also listen as a podcast on your favorite podcast service. Just search for Kinda Funny Games Daily and we're going to be right there for you. To be part of the show, you can go to patreon.com/kindafunnygames, where bronze members or above get to write in and silver members or above get the show ad free, along with the exclusive daily post show. A little housekeeping for you. Our first impressions of Mafia Definitive Edition are live now on youtube.com/kindafunnygames. Barrett Courtney got to play it a little bit. He's pretty stoked about it. Go check it out. Get all of his opinions there. Tomorrow, Gamescom opening night live is happening. You can catch us reacting to it live right here on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. Then right after that, we're going to be doing the Kind of Funny Games cast post-show analysis. So it's a full day from Games Daily from 10 to 11, then from 11 on doing a little opening night live. And then after that, boom, post-show analysis. Fun times for everyone. Later today at 2 p.m. live, we're going to be streaming a game. Right now, it's tentatively Fall Guys, which is going to be fun. I think if it's Fall Guys, I'm going to be playing that with Snowbike Mike, Andy, and I think Kevin. Otherwise, some things that may or may not be happening right now that they're going to be streaming instead. I'm not really sure what's going on with Call of Duty, but I've heard some rumors.
When are we going to figure that out? Because I'd like to know, because I had some plans for my day that...
What were your plans for your day? The plans for your day that you were... set on the calendar to do the Fall Guys stream, Kev?
Yeah, but yesterday on the thing, we said that we weren't doing that, right?
I don't know what you're talking about. We're doing something live, 2 p.m. right?
Really is like a Swiss watch, that operation you got going over there, isn't it?
Exactly. Perfect.
Well, in the middle of like a call, people would be like, oh, well, maybe we should play this. I thought that was a go. My bad.
What was a go?
The other thing, I don't know. Are we not supposed to talk about it?
I don't know, Kevin.
Andy said that he was going to play Call of Duty or something, right?
He did not say that. He said that they might announce something that they might play. Anyways, thank you to our Patreon producers, Muhammad and Blackjack. Today, we're brought to you by Klarna and Bespoke Post, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. We have 5 stories today.
A baker's dozen.
What is going on with Kevin today?
Gary, how are you feeling about Gary's energy?
And there's a whole mood going on with Kevin right now that I feel like I want to get to the bottom of it because I feel like he's bringing a different energy today.
Yeah, Kev, what's going on?
I just had a chill morning. I don't know. I didn't.
How's
mean
that
to.
Robe treating you?
It's very good. I'm not gonna lie. I was a little cold because I'm wearing a little wife beater.
Oh my god!
It's got the Golden Girls on it. Fun fact: we bought this same tank top and sent it to Xavier, and then I liked it so much I went to the Target and bought myself one. It was a little chilly in my house, so I put on my robe that I used for the hot tub. Which, by the way, Gary, what a good move that's been. You know. It's made my life way better.
You joined the hot club jet set. Good for you.
Yep. I feel good, you know? I got my slippers on. It's a good morning. I don't ever want to go back to work.
I can tell. Game today, but I appreciate it. It's an energy that's bizarre, but I'm not going to say that it's bad.
It's a different energy. That's all I'm going to say. It's better or worse. It's different.
It is different. Fall Guys is the most downloaded PlayStation Plus game ever. This comes from Devolver Digital's Twitter. Congrats to our friends at Mediatonic as Fall Guys Games crosses 7 million units on Steam and is the most downloaded PS Plus game of all time. An amazing accomplishment from a wonderful group of folks. Wow. Are you surprised, Gary?
A little, but not really that much. And in fact, the more I play it, the less surprised I am, because the more I play it, the more I'm aware of just what a genius game it is. I mean, absolutely. I don't know how much of this was planned. I think probably the vast majority of it, but even the guys at Mediatonic have said, like, oh yeah, like we didn't expect it to blow up to this degree. I think they were probably aware that they had something really special. I just don't know if anyone could have predicted that it would resonate and connect to this level. And I've said this many times now on Twitter and on different streams. I'll say it again right now. I mean, I'm 100% serious when I say this. It's the game of the year. It is absolutely my personal game of the year. And I can't imagine anything coming between now and the end of the year that's going to top it. And I'll justify it by simply saying this. Go on Twitch, watch people play. Go and watch it, because it's hugely popular on Twitch right now. Everyone's playing it. Tell me, Tim, the last time you saw that many people having that much fun.
Yeah.
And that's all it is.
We're talking about this before we even went live. It's not just playing it, it's watching it.
It's fun for fun's sake. And the genius of the game is it's not just fun to play, it's fun to stream, and it's fun to watch people playing, because the reactions that it brings out of you, again, like you said, we talked about this before the show, Shroud, one of the top streamers on Twitch, and probably the most composed, calm, you know, unruffleable elite player in the game. Like, if you ever watch Shroud play, like, that is a guy who keeps his composure. Five minutes into Fall Guys, he was raging, because the game just brings the worst out of everyone in the best way. It is a game that clearly skill is a big factor. There's already kind of an elite level tier of people that are emerging, right? Like the Dr. Lupos of the world, who are getting 20 crowns a day. It is a game that you can get better at and get really good at. But it doesn't matter how good you get. It doesn't matter how good you get. You can never mitigate that 10% random what the fuck factor. That's just the random luck factor. The game's going to fuck with you no matter how good you get. And that's part of what makes it so delicious and delightful to watch.
Absolutely. Gary, how many crowns are you sitting on right now?
Just the five. My co-host, Kate, has got 12. Because she's been, she's a professional streamer, professional gamer. She's had more time to play than me. I'll simply say that. But I'm proud of my five crowns. I'll be getting more. I need to find. I haven't had as much time to play as I want to. But I love the game to death. My 8-year-old kid loves it. She almost got her first crown yesterday. She's obsessed with watching Fall Guys fail videos. Like, there's already like 20 different YouTube channels dedicated to just like the wild and wacky moments, because Fall Guys is nothing but a game of wild and wacky moments. So again, it's almost like it's a game that's almost designed for like YouTube clips and highlights, right? Because there's just so much "I can't believe that happened" type shit that happens in that game. So I absolutely love it. I've said this a million times as well before. I love, you know, Ghost of Tsushima is a fantastic game. Last of Us Part 2 is a fantastic game. And they're all going to be in the game of the year conversation. But, you know, in the same way that Animal Crossing came into our lives at just the right time when we all needed it during the pandemic, during a time of everyone feeling really miserable, you know, that was a game that came along and offered us a distraction. And I think Fall Guys is bringing exactly the right energy at the right time. We're all miserable. We're all anxious. We're all, you know, unhappy in our lives right now, especially here in America. And Fall Guys just came along and just offered like, just here's like a bundle of fun. Fun for fun's sake. It'll have you tearing your hair out and punching the air, like, in the best and most way. Like, that game will make you feel a full spectrum of emotions, Tim. Don't you agree?
I feel it. Oh, absolutely. I mean, I've said this before, but it's a Nintendo game not made by Nintendo. Like, they somehow captured that magic that is usually reserved just for, you know, the magic of Nintendo or Disney that you kind of get, where it's like they can make you feel it all in this well-crafted experience. And with Nintendo, you had that fun. I think that Fall Guys is like above and beyond that in a lot of ways. I agree with you. I don't agree with you that it's necessarily my game of the year, but I do think it's in the conversation. And I think that that's a testament to how ridiculous this year has been in terms of quality of video games, where, you know, we spent all last year talking about how 2019 was a weird year getting to the game of the year discussions, where there wasn't that standout game. A lot of it was kind of like a lot of great games, but none that were above the rest, like a God of War or Breath of the Wild type situation. This year, I feel like we have so many of those that it's fun to look at how different and unique they all are, where you just brought up the Animal Crossing thing of it. You know, that game came out and it was the right place, right time. I don't think Fall Guys is necessarily the right place, right time. I think that that adds to the experience. I think that that game could have came at any point.
And Animal Crossing would have been as well. But the fact that it came at a time when we most needed just some fun and some frivolity, like, I think that added like 10% to the appeal of it. But no, you're right. It would have been a brilliant game last year or next year or whenever. And to the game of the year conversation, you're right. It's obviously subjective. Last of Us is going to be up there. Tsushima is going to be up there. Animal Crossing, a bunch of other games, and maybe some that we haven't seen yet. But I guarantee you, if there's any justice, Fall Guys is going to be a serious player in that game of the year conversation.
Absolutely.
And both overall and in multiple different categories as well.
Absolutely. And I think that that's awesome. Like, that's what I want to see from video games, where if Fall Guys were to beat Last of Us 2, which is my personal game of the year right now, I wouldn't be mad, because I'm like, I understand. Like, there, it is video games can be so many different things, and I think that we're seeing evidence of that right now with the games that we're talking about and how vastly different they are, and with how many games we still have to come this year that are potentially going to be in that realm of conversation. But I love that. To me, every game of the year means something different to everybody. And what my personal game of the year is even means something different than what I think the game of the year overall is. There was the year that Overwatch came out, and I had a great time with Overwatch. In my opinion, Overwatch, even though it wasn't my personal favorite game of the year, was the game of the year because the zeitgeist of conversation was around it, and the quality of the game backed that up. And I think that both Animal Crossing and Fall Guys have that special something that it is the game that is going to be talked about so much over the year, and the quality of the game backs it up. And Last of Us 2 is similar in different ways. And Last of Us has the technical side of it as well that, you know, kind of pushes things forward. But I just love that you can have literally Last of Us 2 and Fall Guys. Think of videos of both of those playing next to each other.
Right.
And they could be in the exact same game of the year conversation. And I don't think you're crazy.
And obviously it's impossible to pick between the two because they are so different, and it is going to come down largely to personal taste. But, you know, again, I think for Animal Crossing and maybe even more so for Fall Guys, there is something to be said about the time in which the times into which a game is released. We're saying the game of the year, the game of this year, 2020, the year of fucking universal shit show for everyone. The argument could be made that Fall Guys and Animal Crossing were the right games, the best games for this particular year. Do you know what I mean?
Totally. Yeah. No, I mean, that's a good point. The one thing, and I don't want to go too long on this Fall Guys stuff, but I also do because I love the game so much and I love talking to you, Gary. I wonder if it can keep up this momentum. Because to me personally, the thing that would inch it even more so into securing a game of the year conversation spot at the end of the year is what we get from the upcoming seasons. Right. We know we love season one. We know what's here is great, but it's always it's already getting to that point where I'm looking down the line of stuff. I think I'm level 16 right now. And I'm looking down the line of the rest of the stuff, and I'm like, I'm not really motivated to like push through to get those things. I wonder what season two can add. I know we're about to find out tomorrow at the Gamescom event, but I wonder what they're going to do. Are you expecting, and maybe this stuff's all announced, and I've missed it, but are you expecting more mini games?
Yeah, I don't know if they'll do one. Maybe one. I mean, they've already done a couple of swap outs in, you know, even through season one, they patched in, you know, Jump Showdown and brought that back from the beta. I think, again, the reason why I think Fall Guys is going to have legs is, A, first of all, as it continues to blow up, I think you're going to see it go down that Fortnite path into like the Marvel skins and all of that shit. They're all coming. I guarantee it. You're going to be playing as fucking Captain America in Fall Guys probably with inside a year, as all of those like brand deals, you know, all of the big brands want to jump on the Fall Guys bandwagon, right? And it's going to go in that direction. But the genius of it, of course, is because for, you know, a game of Fall Guys is broken down into these different little modular five different rounds. They now have infinite opportunities to iterate and bring and swap out, you know, okay, so season two, this round's going away, but this one's coming in. And here's a new challenge, something, you know, just right when you get good at slime climb, well, that's gone now. Here's something new for you to learn. And yeah. I think that, you know, just that modularity, the fact that each game is five different mini games, is going to allow them, as long as they can keep coming up with cool ideas, which I'm sure they've already got like 100 that they would have wanted to launch with, they had to pick the best ones that they have. You're gonna see endless kind of reinvigoration and refreshing of the Fall Guys experience as they swap different new game types in and out. And then as the game matures, you know, like favorite game types get cycled back. Like slime climb has been gone for a year, but now it's back, you know, and that kind of stuff. They can, but we change it. Like we've added
slimier than ever.
Whatever. Slimier than ever. It's really, there's so much kind of genius baked into that concept in terms of the inherent appeal of it, both to play and to watch, and the satisfaction of winning a crown, and the RNG factor, and the sense that you often feel like luck can go against you, it can go with you, all of the stuff that makes you really like lean into the screen and want to throw your controller against the wall and all that kind of stuff. But the ability to keep the game fresh with different game types, I think is going to be a key to the longevity of it.
Totally, man. And different consoles. Let's see.
I mean, the PlayStation exclusivity is going to run out, you know, pretty soon, as I understand it. The Switch version, of course, it's coming. The Xbox version, of course, it's coming. It's too good a game to not eventually proliferate across all the major platforms. Cross-play, cross-progression, I'm sure, is on their roadmap. I would love to see that. Then additionally, there's like so many things right now that I'm sure they wanted to launch with but weren't able to. And I'll just like, I'll give you an example. Like, think about PUBG. I don't know if you played when PUBG first launched, compared to how it looked then to how it looks now and how much more polished it is as they've had time to mature it and add all the things on their roadmap. Fall Guys is going to look very different and a lot more polished and evolved and mature a year from now. Like, one of the things I would love is like really granular statistics. You know what I mean?
That'd be
like,
real,
you know,
cool.
Now, you know, the game on the back end is tracking all of that because it pops up in achievements. Mm-hmm. So it would be nice to pull up a stats page and see like all of my granular achievements in
how
the
many
game.
Times you fell off a thing, right? Or how many? Fun stuff.
Yeah.
But speaking of PUBG, actually, September's PS Plus games revealed from PlayStation Blog. Chicken Dinners and Shoryukens are on the PS Plus menu this September. You can take on 99 other competitors in PUBG Player Unknown's Battlegrounds or challenge the world's greatest fighters, warriors, to a scrap and beat them up in Street Fighter V. What's more, PlayStation is also kicking off the Street Fighter V PS4 tournament starting September 4th in the US and Canada. These events will offer eligible fighters of all skill levels in those regions the opportunity to compete for cash prizes, a unique PS4 theme, and a custom in-game title. Restrictions apply. You can check out the details there and stuff. Both games will join PS Plus on Tuesday, September 1st, and will be available to download for PlayStation Plus subscribers until October 5th. I feel like the PUBG thing is a little bit of like a too little too late type situation. But Street Fighter V, that's pretty cool, and especially tied with some tournament action for people.
I'm over PUBG at this point. I played it obsessively a couple of years ago. I no longer have any interest in it simply because I'm not good enough at it to be in any way competitive. Like, I go in there and I just get outplayed every time. Like, I just never built up enough of a kind of basic skill base to feel like I was, you know, you don't have to be great at every game to enjoy it, but some games, if you're just not that good, you're never going to have a good time, you know, against a more, you know, experienced player base who are just like, when you get shot in the head and you don't even know where the fuck it came from, like, and that's happening constantly with me, that's when it was enough for me. But like, friends of mine who still play it, like, it's not, I don't think it's like in terms of numbers the biggest game out there anymore, but it still has a very dedicated hardcore player base that they're gonna continue to support, and the game continues to grow, and they're always adding new features and seasons and things. They're keeping it fresh. But no, I mean, PUBG, obviously, Warzone and a bunch of Apex and a bunch of other games have come along and eaten its lunch big time in recent years. Street Fighter V, you know, I'm not a fighting game guy. I can't really speak to that as much, but certainly for Street Fighter fans, they're gonna be pleased.
Yeah. Moving on from that, there was a Nintendo Direct mini partner showcase this morning, a surprise one, once again, just came out of nowhere. Nothing of too much consequence announced, but we're going to go through it anyways. There's a write-up from Adam Bankhurst over at IGN here. Kingdom Hearts Melody of Memory got a release date of November 13th, 2020. This is the rhythm game based on the Kingdom Hearts franchise. There will be an online and local multiplayer options, a free-for-all mode that's exclusive to the Switch, and support for up to 8-player local play. It also features a brand new chapter in the Kingdom Hearts story, so get excited for that. I'm sure it's going to make total sense. A little news on Fuser. They showed off collaborative multiplayer and revealed some new songs. Harmonix showed off collaborative multiplayer in its upcoming Fuser and revealed 3 more songs coming to the game. Ghost and Stuff by deadmau5, Dance Monkey from Tones and I, and Blinding Lights by The Weeknd. I don't know Ghost and Stuff, but Dance Monkey is a certified slap, and Blinding Lights, I literally could listen to that song on repeat for like 12 hours and still be the same level of hyped. Taiko no Tatsujin Rhythmic Adventure Pack brings together both Taiko no Tatsujin Rhythmic Adventure 1 and Adventure 2. These games will allow players to take part in 2 time-traveling RPG adventures with Don Chan as they try to save the world from strange incidents.
Yeah, you lost me about 5 minutes ago, Tim. About five minutes ago, you started sounding like the teacher from the Peanuts cartoons.
Yeah. World of Tanks Blitz arrives on Nintendo Switch later today. It's a free-to-play online multiplayer game that features over 350 unique and exclusive combat vehicles. Gary, I might have lost you there, but I might win you back with this. Some of them are historically accurate.
I like historical accuracy.
Hmm. Some are experimental takes based on blueprints of famous engineers, and some are armored monsters from popular alternate universes.
Is this a hit the crab and its weak spot for massive damage scenario?
I think it is. Next up, we got Big Rumble Boxing Creed Champions. It arrives on the Switch in spring 2021. It allows you to rise through the ranks of the game that features iconic characters like Rocky Balboa, Adonis Creed, and Victor Drago. Cool. A collection of Saga, Final Fantasy Legend, arrives on Switch December 15th. This is definitely a Jared Petty joint. Originally released on Game Boy, the first three titles in the Saga series, Final Fantasy Legend, Final Fantasy Legend 2, and Legend 3, will arrive on Nintendo Switch in one package on December 15th. And based on the screenshots, it looks like it's a collection of the actual Game Boy games. They're not remastered or enhanced in any way. It's the classic green and black looking thing. In the middle of the screen square, and then you control it on the sides. Just Dance 2021 dances its way to Switch this November.
This one made me sit up this morning because my kid loves Just Dance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I mean, like, did you really think it wasn't going to happen this year?
No, of course. I mean, it's been, what has it been around for more than a decade right now, Just Dance, and it's a massive, massive money spinner. Like, mm-hmm. weren't they still releasing it on the Wii up until, like, this past year?
Last year. Or last,
like, the last game year. On the Wii. Like, people still buy it, like, even on, like, legacy formats. I guess I'm a little confused. Like, I guess it's like anything now. It's like FIFA, right? It's just on an annual update. Mm-hmm. Does the game, just 2020 was really the first one that I ever really engaged with. So I guess my question to you, Tim, if you know, I don't know how much you know about the Just Dance universe, but, like, does each game evolve very much, or is it just, like, they update the songs?
I think it's just updated songs. This one comes with 40 new tracks, including right. Don't Start Now by Dua Lipa.
Right. Okay, but it's basically the same game you've been playing for the last 10 years.
Yeah, maybe a little prettier. You get some new videos of cats dancing.
Yeah, I love... Oh my! No, honestly, my kid can't get enough of it.
Puyo Puyo Tetris 2, Kevin. Maybe this one... Maybe it perks your ears up a little bit.
I played so much of the Tetris side of this first one.
Mm-hmm.
But we have this Tetris is good 99.
This is
so
good
I think,
news yeah. for me, too. This is another popular family game in our house because my daughter likes Puyo Puyo and I like Tetris. So we play against each other, and the party mode and all that kind of stuff has good energy. I have a feeling that when Tetris Effect comes to Xbox, that's going to take up more. And Tetris 99, don't forget, is still a big player in this space. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's a lot of... I personally have never been able to get Puyo Puyo. Like, it's never clicked for me. But as long as the Tetris side is there, I'm all good.
Puyo Puyo Tetris 2 is the second entry in the series that mashes together the two legendary puzzle games. And it now has a new skill battle mode that introduces character-based skills and item cards that can be used. There's also an adventure mode with a full story. It arrives on December 8th, 2020. Minecraft Dungeons Creeping Winter DLC adds new missions, weapons, and more. Jump Force Deluxe Edition punches its way to Nintendo Switch on August 28th. Captain Tsubasa Rise of the New Champions brings arcade soccer to Switch tomorrow. And Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles Remastered Edition finally gets a release date of August 27th, which is tomorrow.
Wait, the arcade soccer thing kind of made me prick my ears up there because I've been looking until they bring, like, my big dream, as you know, Tim, is Super Mario Strikers for the Switch. Oh, that's what I want.
Oh, Strikers Charged, man. And, what
until
a
that
game.
Until that happens, maybe that will happen, but until it does, I'm on the lookout for, like, a good arcade soccer game. I wonder if this could scratch that itch.
So what if I told you it was an anime soccer game?
Even better.
Then you might like this. I'm looking at the trailer right now.
Does that
now,
mean it has a story? Is there a narrative? Probably. Like a campaign?
Captain Tsubasa Rise of New Champions is an arcade soccer game that features powerful offensive and defensive moves to gain the advantage over your opponents. Customized characters, build a dream team, play a soccer online or locally, and more beginning tomorrow. So it doesn't really say, but looking
all
at
right.
the
I you trailer, know what? It's just, I might have to investigate this.
Yeah. Yeah, you have to report back. I want to know what you think about Captain Tsubasa. You know, but anyways, that's it. That was the Nintendo Direct mini partner showcase. The second one, we knew we were going to get another because the last one ended saying, hey, more to come this year. And essentially, they're just roundups of third party partners of Nintendo that have video games coming out in the system. And if Nintendo refuses to do a proper Direct and talk about games that way, they need to come up with a new way to kind of temper expectations and just drop a Direct out of nowhere with absolutely no hype. So no one has any time to get hyped for it. and then they'll announce games like this.
I mean, hopefully they are doing a good job of kind of recalibrating expectations with these different levels. Like the idea of the mini direct is like a way for them to say, because they obviously know they're seeing what's happening out there. Every time Nintendo says there's a direct coming, all of us, right, especially the super fans, start frothing at the mouth. Expectations run wild. You know, we can't control ourselves. And then the direct often struggles to meet the expectations, unless it is like an absolute mega banger. You know, we're always like, oh, but that wasn't what I, you know, that didn't check every box on my wish list. So people like start complaining. But, you know, Nintendo, or, you know, not every single game that Nintendo releases or through its third parties is going to be that level of excitement, right? So I think they needed a way to be able to announce and talk about these games, but without having all that baggage of expectation that comes with the big directs. So these mini directs, I think, are a smart way to present those.
Interesting. I don't really know where I stand on it, because I think that the way they handled this, if they're going to do this way, is the right way to go. Don't make a big deal out of it. Just drop it in the morning before anyone wakes up. By the time I woke up, this had already happened. So I'm just reading a rundown. I don't need to watch it. There's nothing to get me disappointed. Having said that, though, we already have directs. We already have direct minis. This isn't even a direct mini. This is a Nintendo Direct Mini Partner Showcase. They're getting so specific about what they're doing. And so far, what they're telling us about these partner showcases is they are extremely not exciting, to the point that it's like, it seems like they know that too. And it just, looking at this level of games, it's like, why even put these in this type of presentation if you're not really expecting people to watch these things? You know, like, this is the type of thing where it's like, if you don't hype it up for people to watch live when the Nintendo Direct announcements are made, just put this out in a blog roll somewhere. You know, give IGN the exclusives. Go to Kotaku. You know, like, I feel like with what you're talking about, Gary, of like, we expect the big megaton announcement. I get that that's dangerous, but like, the value of a Nintendo Direct of packaging all these things together in a 20-minute package is get everyone in for Mario, but then sell them on Captain Tsubasa.
I suppose, but then, you know, just as a numbers game, they're not always going to be able to do that, right? Like, they're not always going to have a Mario reveal to anchor everything else that they want to show. Sometimes they're just going to have a bunch of smaller stuff to show, and they need a format in which to do that as well. Like you said, they could just do them on a case-by-case basis, you know, just drop an announcement here or there. Again, for me, the idea of the mini direct being branded as like, you know, here's, we're going to show you some new stuff, but like, it's a mini direct, so don't get carried away. This is just some other stuff we're doing that you might like, but like, don't expect there to be like a Mario drop here or whatever. I think that's a smart way to do it. I like the concept of the mini direct.
It's like Pikmin 3 was announced, right? Just on Twitter. If Pikmin 3 was in this, at least that would have been something that gets people excited surrounding all this other stuff. You know, it just seems like they're making a lot of bizarre decisions over there that I'm not super clear on what they're doing, and I'm not clear on where their games are. But
I mean, you could make the argument, Tim, though, that the developers of, say, Captain Tsubasa might not want their game to be on the same bill as like a big Nintendo first party title, because what's going to be the narrative coming out of that direct? It's going to be everyone talking about the big game, and it's arguable that those smaller games that are coming up behind it in that same direct would get lost in all that noise as everyone focuses on the big news.
But I don't buy that, because I feel like this is teaching people to not even watch these directs.
No, I don't think so. I mean, I didn't watch it. What? But I think that's just assuming that people only want to tune in for like super AAA game announcements. But like I said, I'm interested in Captain Tsubasa. There's tons of games that I'm interested in that aren't, you know, considered tier one, you know, games, but they're of interest to me. I mean, that's basically what the entire indie scene is, and those games deserve a platform too.
But so, you didn't watch it, Gary. You didn't watch it.
What? Not yet. But it's bloody 10 o'clock in the morning, Tim. I've only been up like an hour. You know, when they drop these things at 6 o'clock in the morning, you know, so I generally kind of like chill out on the couch, like in the evening, and catch up on the directs and things that dropped during the day. But like, you know, it's Nintendo has a unique issue with its fan base and the expectations, and every direct now people tune in like waiting for like the next big thing. And, you know, and it's really, again, like they can't win, right? Everyone, like, for example, everyone wants like the next big Metroid game. And when the direct announces, they basically create a narrative in their head. Oh, this is going to be the Metroid game, because that's what I want. And when it's not shown, it's like, fuck you, Nintendo, you let me down. But you got there, but you built that expectation up all by yourself. Like Nintendo, it's not like Nintendo teased you and then pulled it away at the last minute. Like you decided that's what you wanted to see, and when you didn't get it, you were pissed at Nintendo. I feel like that's the story of a lot of these directs.
It totally is. But at some point, don't use the direct name then, if those expectations are there. Jumping over to Jeff Grubb, who left some rumors here. And there's a lot of updates. This is all from tweets that I'm trying to like piece together here, because we all know that the Mario 3D games rumors of them coming to Switch have been circulating for a very long time. 15 hours ago, Jeff Grubb tweets, Super Mario 3D All-Stars sounds like a good name for a video game. Jeff Grubb tweeting that type of thing, he knows a little something. You know what I mean? Like, that's him kind of hinting here or there. And he's been hinting at a Nintendo Direct being, or a Nintendo something, not a Direct. I need to be clear about that. A Nintendo something coming this week. And now this partner showcase happened. So he's kind of now revitalized some of the things that he said there. So 15 hours ago, he tweeted that. Then James Stevenson from Insomniac Games tweets, don't tease me, Jeff. And Jeff replies, what are you doing Friday?
I think that many of us in the games industry or adjacent to who have our ears to the ground and who hear things, like there are certain things right now that aren't confirmed, but which we basically know are happening, like Xbox Series S, right? We all know that's happening. We're just waiting for the other shoe to drop. The new Super Mario All-Stars, I believe, is also in that category. It's a lock that it's coming. It's probably coming for this holiday, almost certainly. It's just a question of like, what are the details? Like what's exactly in it? Mm-hmm. What I think is in it, and this may be wishful thinking, because what I hope is in it is Super Mario 64 remastered, Sunshine remastered, because that game is well overdue for a relitigation, re-examination. I think it's totally an undervalued, you know, Super Mario Sunshine gets kicked around as like the redheaded stepchild of the Super Mario world, but it's not. It's actually a really great game, I think, largely misunderstood.
I love Sunshine, but I mean, it is, even then, it is clearly a level less than the others in this thing. But like,
I do think that it deserves to, and the time is right to introduce, because it's old enough now that you can introduce it to a whole new audience. Give it a glow up, maybe do some tweaks. Fix some of the things that people didn't like about it, and give it another go around and let people discover, you know, or rediscover Super Mario Sunshine and then Galaxy 1 and 2. I think that's going to be, and then maybe like a bunch of behind the scenes anniversary type content. But I think that's going to be the crux of it. And if that's what Nintendo roll out this holiday, they're going to be in a very strong position, because who doesn't want that?
I want that. I want that really bad. And more than anything, I want to know what it is, because you're talking about these industry insiders having these scoops and stuff. But it's like, at some point, we've talked about Metroid Prime Trilogy being a real thing so long that I'm questioning if it is. And I know that all of its timing and COVID's pushed everything, but there are certain things that I think that we all get in our heads and have just talked about so much that until they're real, I don't know what it is. And I think that looking at this, I'm excited, and I hope it's real. And a lot of these times I kind of want to rely on the what I'm hoping to see from this and seeing it come to fruition. But I do hope this is one collection, because Nintendo totally could put these out piecemeal, game by game. And in some ways, I would rather prefer that, if that means they're actually remade from the ground up and like given like full love. Whereas if they're just put here, I don't necessarily just want ports on a cartridge of these games, just straight up.
I mean, if you go all the way back to the Super Nintendo and look at the original Super Mario All-Stars, that was a great presentation.
It was fantastic.
Right?
It was my first video game I ever owned.
And I think it was the 25th anniversary version that they did for the Wii was also
where they took the ROM 20th. Of that and just put it on a DVD. It's like, that's the level of Nintendo that I don't want to see.
But it was the original All-Stars was a great way to present those games. Like, you know, not just like here's the games again, but like we're going to spruce them up, we're obviously going to remaster them. There's going to be like some library historical kind of curation content, so you can put these games in there, historical content, maybe some behind the scenes, you know, kind of stuff, like all the stuff that kind of makes it feel like a full package. Whether or not they'll use the All-Stars branding, I don't know. For me, it makes perfect sense for them to do that.
Totally.
I think the assumption that these are going to be the four, I think most people have settled on because it feels like the four that make the most sense. 64, Sunshine, and the two galaxies. That makes total sense. Maybe 3D Land. I don't know. Or 3D World, the first 3D World. I don't know.
3D World, I expect to be its own separate release. 3D but, Land, but
those,
though.
That's I think those four would be a great set of actually. But Mario 64, obviously, hugely historically significant in the in the overall Mario canon. Mm-hmm. Sunshine, again, like weirdly a bit of an outlier, but that's I think that's the reason to put it in because it's kind of the forgotten game.
You have to have Sunshine.
Yeah, again, and let's put it back in front of a new audience and like relitigate it and have the conversation over again about you know what is the verdict of Mario Sunshine. Yeah. I loved it though. I loved the sunny Delfino kind of vibe of it. I loved the whole thing with the water pack, and it just felt like I enjoyed it a lot, even though I know people have legitimate issues with it. And then Galaxy One, I mean, I don't know about you two, but the original Galaxy is my all-time favorite Super Mario game.
I mean, to me, it's what day is it? It's going to change and flip back and forth. I always put Galaxy 2 over 1, but literally that's just like, man, what we're talking about comparing 10s here.
And the thing that frustrated me the most at the time, Tim, is you remember on the Wii, that system came out alongside the first HD platforms, and it was frustrating to play Galaxy knowing what a great game it was, but also knowing how much better it could look.
Oh,
if the Wii had been an HD console. And some people were able to do like their own kind of homebrew HD remasters on the PC and stuff like that. But like, I think that's what we want to see. I think we want to see Galaxy 1 and 2, two of the best Mario games ever made, fully kind of realize that the graphical fidelity that they deserve. And that's
because the art style's there.
Oh, of course.
We've seen it with like Wind Waker HD even. It's just like, these games are going to look great.
And I think still the best Mario soundtrack, Gusty Garden and all that stuff. The
orchestra is beautiful. Beautiful stuff.
I had that on my iPod for like a year. That was like all I listened to was the Super Mario Galaxy soundtrack.
So good. But Jeff follows up and he's like, okay, before everyone goes to Party City to get their Super Mario birthday balloons, let me clarify that I'm feeling pretty good about Friday for this, but it's still not a guarantee. And then that said, here's a link, and he links to Party City balloon of Mario. But then he replies and says, I'm feeling less good about this in the morning. Let's call it a backpedal. So sounds like it might be coming off a little bit of the it's happening this Friday thing. He then tweets more. Again, this is all stuff of him having conversations with people, but I know he's in the chat right now. I love you so much, Jeff. You keep me going here. So he says, this seems totally possible. If it's a mini, I wouldn't expect Mario here. Instead, I'd expect Nintendo to come back at some point in mid-September. So that's in reference to today's Direct that happened. So since that happened, it seems like he's now moving his thoughts on when this Mario thing's going to happen to September. He says, for full transparency, let me share what I know. Something is happening this week, but I've heard like 5 different variations. There is a non-mini Direct coming up, but Nintendo also said there are more partner showcases coming. So I still think this is right. So...
yeah, at this point, I'm very, very comfortable making these predictions. Clip this, throw it back at me if I'm wrong. I feel pretty confident. The Mario Anthology is coming. It's going to be Nintendo's big holiday offering. Again, how it's branded, what exactly are the details of the content? I think we can make very smart guesses. My feeling, it probably is going to be the 4 games that we talked about. Maybe there's a surprise in there somewhere. But I feel like the major pieces of this we can be pretty certain about in terms of exactly when are they going to release it. Announce it, maybe this week, maybe next, who knows. Again, the actual details of the package and the branding and the specific details of the content. I think we've got a good sense of the big picture. We just now need to know the actual details. And yeah, it's probably they'll release it in like October, early November as their big holiday thing. And there's a good chance you might see a bundle too.
Yeah, definitely.
I think you might see like a themed Switch like they did with Animal Crossing and maybe some kind of bundle for the holidays.
I want it so bad. But before we go on, we have more news stories to do, but I do want to tell you about our sponsors. Today's episode is brought to you by Klarna. Thanks to Klarna for supporting Kind of Funny Games Daily. In Sweden, they don't shop, they Klarna. Klarna is a revolutionary new online shopping app from Sweden that allows you to shop thousands of online stores and pay for anything in 4 interest-free payments that make shopping smoother. With the Klarna app, you can shop anywhere online from the one app It's easy to use and convenient to browse thousands of online stores from one convenient place. You can pay for anything in 4 interest-free payments. Paying after delivery allows you to try before you buy, and you can also report returns directly in the app. It's very simple. You can get the best deals with customized price drop alerts on items you've saved to your wish list. It's always good to shop smarter and save money. You can create and share a wish list of items with friends and family so they can buy you things. I love how easy it is to find what you're looking for and get set up. The app is beautiful. It's clean. It's simple. It's a smoother, friendlier, Swedisher way to shop online. It's the one-stop shopping app for browsing and buying anything online, all in one app, and allows you to pay for anything in 4 easy, interest-free payments. You can download the Klarna app today. That's K-L-A-R-N-A, Swedish for shopping. And next up, shout out to Bespoke Post. As we all settle into this new normal version of summer, Bespoke Post is here with customized box of awesome collection for guys, guaranteed to upgrade your life. Right now, more than ever, you got to make sure you treat yourself to the assortments of boxes available from Bespoke. They'll help you do just that. They got boxes featuring nice bags, wallets, kitchenware, and more. I got some Hue lights from it. You know, I'm a big fan of Hue lights. Like to be able to control the color of my lights, how dim they are, all of that stuff. Kev's a big fan too. They got a dim box you can check out. I know Bless just got his a box with, that comes with shoes. Joey got one that comes with this little cocktail kit. Cool stuff. To get started, you can take the quiz at boxofawesome.com. Your answers will help them pick the right box for you. They release new boxes every month across a ton of different categories. It's free to sign up, and you can skip a month or cancel anytime. Each box costs only $45 and has over $70 worth of gear inside. You can get 20% off your first monthly box when you sign up at boxofawesome.com and enter the code GAMES at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com, code GAMES, for 20% off your first box. Back to the news stories here. Where are we at? Oh, who would have thought? More Jeff Grubb rumors. So here's the deal, Gary. Yesterday on this show, Kind of Funny Games Daily, Jeff Grubb was in the chat. And Andrea and Blessing were on the show talking. Jeff was having conversations with the best friends out there. And
hardest working man in games journalism.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. Doing all the work for us. I love it. He started saying some stuff. And the Reddit, the Xbox News Reddit, picked it up and started running it as him confirming that the initiative is working on a new third-person Perfect Dark game.
Oh, wow.
Yes, exactly. So he was in there having this conversation. Now, an additional tweet, this comes from Nibelian on Twitter. In an additional tweet, Grubb says that the game at least takes place in the same universe as Perfect Dark, and that this is the quadruple A game a lot of people on Twitter are talking about. Jeff Grubb replies that and saying, confirms a loaded term. As I said it, as someone else points out, it might not exactly be Perfect Dark, but somehow it might be playing in that universe. Jeff DM'd me today. And he said, hey, I want to make sure that I get everything straight here when you guys talk about this on the show. He says, I should have been more nuanced in chat, but the game isn't Perfect Dark. Based on my reporting, the initiative is dabbling with that material, but no one should take that to mean the game is set in that universe or starring the same characters. So there you go. From the man himself, laying this to rest of what this is actually potentially going to be. Either way, I'm excited. I want to know what they're working on. And anything, AAA, quadruple A, whatever that you want to call it, give me all the A's. I want to see what Xbox is doing where they're like, this is our flagship.
By the way, Tim, just to put a button on the whole Jeff Grubb issue. Because we talked about Grubb a lot, and we talked mm-hmm. about PUBG mm-hmm. a little bit at the top of the show as well. If you're at all interested, in the time that Jeff Grubb tried to stream snipe me in PUBG, and yeah. I ended up straight up fucking murdering him. I just dropped that link into the chat. So please go and enjoy that YouTube clip of Jeff Grubb getting stone cold punked by me in Battlegrounds. Perfect Dark, do you care?
Here's the thing. Yes. I have fond memories growing up of it. I think the IP is valuable. I think it was highly tainted with the Xbox 360 version. But I think it's been long enough. And Joanna Dark as a character, the idea of her being modernized for 2023 or whatever it's going to end up being, I think that would be very exciting. What Jeff's saying here from what he knows sounds like that's not going to be the case. But if it was the case, I'd be pretty excited for that. Obviously, we want to see a new IP from these guys. We want to see them like really kind of make something special happen on the Xbox Series X that we've never seen before. But it's hard to get excited about something that just doesn't exist at all. right? It's easier to be excited when it's something tied to the familiar, tied to an IP that you already know, because you can start to think about what it might actually be. So for me, Perfect Dark, I think, is an IP that deserves way better than it's gotten in the last 20 years.
Yeah, and you know, I find myself, I've talked about this before, Tim, I find myself a little bit torn these days. Between, you know, I'm always banging on about how I want to see more original, you know, games and take a chance on new IP. And, you know, every time a Tsushima or Horizon Zero Dawn, you know, comes through, it's great, right? Because it demonstrates that like big original ideas can still work. And I love that. At the same time, I, you know, like it frustrates me that, like, for example, Konami are letting all these great franchises down. But like, you know, I think we would all love to see a new Castlevania.
Oh, yeah.
A AAA Castlevania. We're probably never going to see that ever again. Mm-hmm. Like on the Nintendo side, I do think they have a lot of great franchises that are just sitting there that are ripe to come back. Like F-Zero is a big one for me. Mm-hmm. I would love to see like a new, you know, AAA bells and whistles F-Zero game.
A blisteringly fast F-Zero in HD. Let's go.
Hey, what a great launch title that would be for the Switch Pro.
Hell yeah.
Right? You know what I'm saying.
Oh, I know exactly what you're saying, Gary.
Okay, fast forward to Christmas or sometime next year, 2021, Tim. Mm-hmm. Nintendo announces a Switch Pro with F-Zero livery, like a special F-Zero branded, F-Zero Prime or Ultra, whatever the fuck you want to call it.
Captain Falcon will come to your house, deliver it personally, Switch punch Pro you in the fucking face
with like luminescent, iridescent blue, you know, color scheme on the Joy-Cons, and like, come on, mm-hmm. come on. I've got a just thinking about it right now, Tim.
I'm right there with you.
I can see you adjusting yours right there.
Yeah, we're having a moment right now, Gary.
I can see that conversation was having an effect on you, Tim. A very, very, very real effect.
A very, very real effect.
I'm very excited. Yeah, so I would like to see some more of the classic storied Nintendo and Rare franchises of yore get brought back for a new generation.
Absolutely. Now jump in over to the Xbox side of things fully. Wasteland 3 early reviews are in. This comes from Nebelian's Twitter. Once again, Eurogamer gave it a recommended. Windows Central gave it a 5 out of 5. It's getting a whole bunch of 4 out of 5s from different places like Games Radar, Game Revolution, Fextra Life. But the Metacritic right now is 86. I saw you tweeting about this earlier, Gary. This exciting you?
Excited because I, as you know, I'm very old, and so I remember the grand old days of 8-bit and 16-bit gaming, and I go all the way back to the original Wasteland on the Commodore 64, the very, very first one. And I'm very glad, you know, obviously Wasteland begat Fallout, mm-hmm. which is now it's obviously a very big deal in its own right, and that's gone off on its own direction. But I love the fact that it's not like Fallout replaced Wasteland. Wasteland is still going. There's been a terrific remaster. Wasteland 2 was very popular. And I took a look at Wasteland 3, the trailer this morning. Yeah, I've actually been looking to get into like a really kind of nerdy RPG for a while. I've got Baldur's Gate 3 is on my radar. But generally, I gravitate more towards like the non-fantasy style RPGs. Like I'm more of a Mass Effect guy than a Dragon Age mm-hmm. guy. I did the same kind of game, but like, I just like the sci-fi settings better than the traditional kind of fantasy settings. And so Wasteland, especially with my historical connection to it, going all the way back to like me playing it when I was like 15, 16 years old, has a big historical association for me. And it looks great. And guess what? It's on Game Pass, so it ain't going to mm-hmm. cost me a penny. Excited.
Yeah, absolutely. Moving on from that was our final story. So we are going to jump into the fun little segments that we have that include out today. Oh, actually, wait, no, sorry. My doc's all messed up because I did the ads in the wrong place. Wasteland 3 being in your hands and you playing it, Gary, might not be that far away. But if I want to know what was coming to mom and grop shops today, where would I look?
The official list of up-and-coming software on each and every platform as listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
Do you have it, Ken?
Yes. Oh, what? We actually have a musical drop now? Oh, shit. That's new.
I just refuse to do the jingle.
Was that off the shelf, or did somebody compose that?
A best friend made it. Kevin, can you read the file name of that? Is that possible?
Yeah, just give me 2 seconds.
Okay, because it has his name, and I want to give him the shout out on there. But yeah, no, I just
Dylan Fisher.
Dylan Fisher, thank you for making my life
feel, I actually feel bad that I talked over it. Could we hear it just one more time clean? Because it was really good.
Yeah, give me one.
I gotta say, that's good. I'm impressed.
It's good. It's like damn it. Good, right? I Dylan like Fisher killing the game.
Well
out
done.
Today, The Suicide of Rachel Foster on PS4 and Xbox One. Sheepo on PC. Oh, wow. Chickamauga Battles on PC and Mac. Japanese Romanji Adventure on PC and Mac. Turtle versus Portal on PC and Mac. Jenny LeClue, Detective on Switch. That game looks fantastic.
That's on Apple Arcade. That's a fun game, yeah.
Yeah, go check it out if you haven't seen it before. And Jets and Guns 2 on the Nintendo Switch. Some new dates for you. The Last Campfire from Hello Games is actually out tomorrow on PS4, Switch, Steam, Xbox, and Apple Arcade. And The Witcher Monster Slayer was announced. It's a new portable AR game for iOS and Android. It's coming soon. Developed by Spoko, which is part of CD Projekt Red. Let's do one question from your reader mail. You can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames to write in your questions, like Use the Breaks did. Use the Breaks says, hey, KFGD crew, just a dumb thought, but as we are on the edge of making games at 4K 60, is this it? Have we reached gaming nirvana? I know purists will always say higher, better, faster, stronger, but say we project 10 years from now. If you own Naughty Dog's next title after Last of Us 2, which came out in 2023, and it's 4K 60fps locked with beautiful graphics, but the standard of gaming in 2030 is 8K/120 frames per second, are you going to demand a remaster for what is honestly minor gains? Are kids going to look at games releasing now and say, ew, it's a 20s game, pass? And what happens in 2040 or 2050? Will 20-year-old titles then be considered gross and dated? Are we plateauing? Our game's going to live forever. Gary, what do you think?
I don't know. I don't think we're plateauing. I think that 20 years from now, you'll look back on The Last of Us Part 2, for example, and be amazed that we were ever impressed by that. And that's not to say that Last of Us 2 isn't impressive, because it is. It's phenomenally impressive. It is the best looking game I've ever seen in my life. The quality of the technical work and the craftsmanship and the artistry in that game is on another level, to the point at which Ghost of Tsushima, which we played right after, which also looks great, frankly suffered from following on from that, because like the facial stuff like is just not as good, because nothing is. But in the same way that we look at this happens every generation. I remember like there's a cover of the old Next Generation magazine from the 90s. I was there when they made it. I worked at that company. They put out a front cover that was an image of a character from the first Unreal game, the very first Unreal game. And it was like, the whole thing was like, yes, you can believe your eyes. This is actually a real screenshot of a thing that's happening in the game. Yes, this is real. This is how good graphics are now. And at the time we were like, wow, that's amazing. Now you look at it and it's like literally a meme. It's a joke. It's like, how did we ever think that was as good as graphics could ever get? And like, there's no sign that that's going to plateau. I don't think there's any, like, no technology. I don't think you ever get to a point in technology where it's like, yeah, we stop now. Like, that's as good as it's ever going to get. It always keeps advancing. We get better at this stuff. It's just going to keep going. VR is going to take us off in a whole other direction as well. I think that the idea of us playing video games within a flat, two-dimensional panel is going to look increasingly quaint as VR becomes more viable and opens up new possibilities for us. I think that as great as the stuff that we have now looks, by the way, the idea that 4K 60 is somehow the zenith, like that, we've already surpassed that. If you're playing games at the top end of the PC market, you're already playing better than that. You're playing 4K 120 and higher, 150. I've got with the video card that I've got in my PC right now, 4K 60, it will just fucking shit that out. What else you got? So that technology already exists. And now it just has to get cheaper and cheaper and become, and the higher end is going to keep getting better and better as well. So no, we haven't plateaued. I think the difference between the games we were playing 20 years ago and the games we're playing now, you're going to see that much difference, if not more, 20 years from now. What do you think?
I disagree with that statement. I think that I'm with you in the sense that like we're it's going to get a lot better. And it's when in 20 years, we're going to look back at these games and be like, oh my God, we thought this was that good. I can't believe it. But I do think that we are getting closer to a point where the little graphical fidelity increases that we get, the changes in frame rate that you're talking about, like the difference between 30 to 60 and then 60 to 120, at some point we're going to hit that, I think soon, where does that top out where it's like, all right, we're definitely getting some diminishing returns here. And I think the same can be said about resolution where, okay, jumping from 4K to eventually 8K or whatever it is, like at what point is that just more instead of better? And I think that it's going to be in the details. It's going to be in lighting and in shadows. And that's why I think ray tracing is the most impressive thing we've seen so far from next gen and even next gen's current gen right now. It's like seeing Minecraft ray traced is a transformative experience that shows that technology of lighting, it's about just making things feel more right, not looking more right. It's about the feel at that point. And I think that we're hitting that where, look at Nintendo. They hit the Wii and we're kind of like, all right, we don't need to go HD. We're just going to stick with this because it's the games that matter. Then you look at where we're at now with the Wii U and then the Switch, where there's kind of like 1080p is really all you need for the art style that we're going for. And we care more about crafting these worlds that don't need these fancy graphics and all that stuff. That's not to say I don't want to play these games in 4K. I totally do. But I think that we're hitting a point that, depending on the genre, we are hitting a plateau of what it needs to be. And at that point, it is just kind of optional little check boxes going off. Brought up Last of Us 2. And I think Last of Us 2 is interesting where we have those memories of being younger, watching sports games and being like, oh my God, NBA live, whatever. Like it could trick people. If it was playing on a TV screen, they would think that it was actually an NBA game. We were just saying that. We wanted to be at that point now, Tim.
Even people like you and I, who like are very fluent with what video games look like, there have been times in the past recently when I've looked at like a FIFA clip or something has shown up in my feed, and I thought I was watching a broadcast of a game. And it was only when I looked a second closer, I was like, oh shit, no, that's FIFA or something. Like absolutely. we are that close now.
And but that's the thing is we are now, and we weren't actually then before. And we knew that in our hearts. We just wanted it to be just slightly better, slightly more to feel right than it did. And recently playing Last of Us 2, Gia walked in and was watching me, and she was like, wow, like this game has a lot of movie. Like, when do you actually get to play? And right. I put the controller down and things stopped. And she was like, oh my God, you're playing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah. And like I was like moving Joel around, and she was just like, what? Like blown away. And it's one of those things, you look at it and even now it's beautiful. It doesn't look like real life, right? It does. Like, it's not like it's going for realistic graphics, but like, we know that it's a video game. We know that it's not real.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be those little changes going forward.
All of those little flaws and imperfections that we just kind of go, yeah, this is amazing, but yeah, it's not perfect yet. Like those things are going to, you're going to look back on that as like quaint as we get closer. Right. Mm-hmm. To photo, in the same way that first, you know, Unreal image. Oh, wow. That's so great. And now you go, come on, seriously. Yeah, how could we ever think that was impressive? Yeah. But I mean, I do think that we have reached, like, in this with The Last of Us Part Two, there were times when you would just stop just to look and go, my God, look at how amazing this looks.
Yeah.
From like, you know, just like what riding your horse through a forest, or just the way that like light shafts through a window inside a boarded up house or whatever. You would just stop and just like admire just how fucking jaw-droppingly good it looked.
And back in the I don't ever remember doing that with Halo 2.
But I don't think, I was going to say to you, I don't ever remember doing that with like 90s games. I was like games looked good, but they never looked so good that like they actually like took your breath away and made you stop playing just to admire it. But now
GameCube, Halo 2, like those two games, Uncharted, specifically the later Uncharted games, or even like 2 and 3. There was multiple moments where I was like, how the fuck is this real?
And
those are all, you know, previous gen games. But if I were to look back at them right now and be like in the same spot that I was then, I'd be like, how the hell did I even think that? You know, so it is exciting to think about the little things that are going to make games feel more real, that are going for a realistic art style and how they're going to look. But what a time to be alive, man. Video games are cool. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily. We're about to do the post show. Gary, it's been so great catching up with you.
Yeah, I really enjoyed this. We should do it more often.
Definitely. Yeah.
And let's play some Fall Guys.
Hell yes. You can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames to subscribe at the bronze level to get to the post show. Also here, I'm looking through to You're Wrong to see what we got wrong. Give me one sec. This is a fun thing.
We don't get things wrong, Tim.
That's true. I want to check this. Yeah. Kev, I'm going to send assets a link real quick, okay?
Ready for it, my dude.
Done. Just Tom sends us in. Not a correction, but this is the magazine cover that Gary was talking about.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, they find it?
Mm-hmm.
Let me see.
1 second. Let me see. Okay.
Where'd they post that? Because I want to go back and look at it.
I'm about to pull it up.
Oh, okay.
And then otherwise, nanobiologist said.
Yeah, there it is.
There we go. Yes, this is an actual PC game screenshot.
and at the time, people were genuinely blown away. This was like right at the birth of like the 3D acceleration era, when we started to like introduce discrete pieces of hardware just to do graphics. And at the time, I worked on PC Gamer right next door to where that magazine was. And I remember coming over and looking at that cover and being genuinely like, oh, wow, like graphics are that good now, huh? And now that's literally a meme. That's a joke. Like whoever thought that was good.
Oh yeah. So life after Mario 64. God, so funny. Nanobiologist posted some breaking news here. Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War information just dropped. We're gonna cover that on tomorrow's Kind of Funny Games Daily. There's a whole bunch of info. But the big thing, Gary, here we go. Standard edition, $60. Cross-gen bundle, $70.
This is how they're going to get you, Tim.
It's how they're going to get you. Ultimate edition, $80. Oh my God.
So cross-gen bundle means if you pay the extra $10, you're going to get the upgrade?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. All right. This is how they get you.
This is how they get you. We're going to move on to the post show. Love you guys. Talk to you later. Bye.